This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Claire Booth Luce wrote her Broadway play The Women in 1936. By that time, she had already made a name for herself, not just as a talented editor for national magazines like Vanity Fair, but as a successful husband stealer. The rich divorcee had recently won the affections of married media tycoon Henry Luce. Her play, The Women, is a satire about the role of women in the 1930s, but it still has relevance today. And a new production is coming to the Cary Arts Center. It is staged this weekend. Lyman Collins is co-director of the production, and he's here to tell us more about that. Hello, Lyman. Good to have you.
Nice to be with you, Frank.
Also joining us is Jess Barber, who plays the role of Mary Haynes, a well-heeled wife. Hello.
Hello.
Jess, good to have you. Bridget Patterson plays Crystal Allen, the unapologetic other woman.
Hi.
Good to have you here. And Rachel McKay is a costume designer for the play. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, good to be here.
Good to have you. Lyman, tell us a bit about this playwright in its the playwright and the play in its time, 1936.
Well, it was, when Claire Booth Luce wrote this, I think she was a part of this society, and she was offering a commentary on the society that she was a part of while kind of standing at a distance and criticizing it as well. So I think she comes, in her own way, she's a bit of schizophrenic because of her background, and then commenting on this play, using the play as a commentary for her own life, really.
And she had the privilege of being able to stand back, don't you think, and satirize the fact that women were held in such tiny silos and such narrow-minded ideas about what women can do. On the other hand, there were these sort of stereotypes that she could play with.
Absolutely. And then, of course, she later fought out of that because she became became quite involved in politics. So her own life came out of the stereotypes from the women into a whole new realm.
Tell us about the conflict and the plot line in this play.
Well, of course, it's centered on a divorce, which is interesting, too, because divorce in the 1930s wasn't easy to get. But Mary Haynes, our protagonist here, she learns through the cattiness of her friends that her husband is having an affair with Crystal Allen, the perfume girl, and she ultimately decides she must get a divorce. And to do that in the 30s, you had to go to Reno. So she heads off to Reno, which is kind of an interesting difference from today when divorce doesn't have the same connotations at all that it had then.
Well, Bridget, you play Crystal in this production. Tell us more about her character.
Crystal is the villain, as you just described. Crystal, I see her as a realist. She is low class, and she, throughout the play, her character arc is to, her aim in life is to marry up, and that's exactly what she tries to do. So she's a realist. I think she is the one character who likes to think that she sees the world for what it is, which is social Darwinism.
Yeah. And that's what women have. I mean, if you have limited us and you're not going to allow us, access to credit and the better jobs and better education, then I've got this that I can use to better my position. And that's what I'm using.
The tools of the trade are exactly what this show talks about a lot. Yeah.
And then, Jess, you play the character Mary.
Yes.
Tell us more about Mary.
I think she's the woman that everyone aspires to be. And I think she actually ends up learning a lot from Crystal in a way that maybe she wasn't expecting to at the end, but she kind of has to come into her own and figure out who she is again without marriage in order to maybe figure out who she is again in a new marriage.
Because Mary played by the rules, which, the rules at that time and maybe to some extent still are, if you are born into privilege, you just play that up, you marry the right person because you are in that position, you will be happy. But of course, it does mean that you have to put into a blind trust any of the other talents and aspirations you might have had.
Exactly. I feel like Mary does exactly what she learned from her own mother.
Yeah.
And this is the way that she's supposed to be. This is the way her life is supposed to be. So in a way, she's naive to any possible misgivings of other women that could cause her some problems.
Well, I know you're going to do a scene for us. Maybe I could ask you to do that now and set it up for us, if you would.
Sure.
Well, this is the scene is the initial confrontation or meeting between Crystal and Mary, and they have coincidentally both ended up at the same dress shop and are being fitted for clothes when Mary's friend Sylvia discovers that Crystal is there and goads Mary into a confrontation with Crystal, and that's what the scene is.
Come in.
I am Mrs. Stephen Haynes.
I'm sorry, I don't think I know you.
Please don't pretend.
So Stephen finally told you?
No, I found out. I've known about you from the beginning.
Well, that is news.
I've kept still up till now.
Very smart of you.
But I'm afraid you've gone a little too far. You've been seeing my children, and I won't have you touching my children.
Oh, for God's sakes, don't get hysterical. What do I care about your children? I'm sick to death of hearing about them.
Well, you won't have to hear about them anymore. When Stephen finds out how humiliating all this has been to me, he'll give you up instantly.
Says who? The dog in the manger.
That's all I have to say.
Oh, and that's plenty. Maybe you'll find you've said too much. Stephen's not tired of me yet, Mrs. Haynes.
Stephen's just amusing himself with you.
And he's amusing himself plenty.
You're very hard.
I can be soft. On the right occasions. Aw, what'd you expect me to do? Burst into tears and beg you to forgive me.
I found exactly what I expected.
That goes double.
You'll have to make other plans, Miss Allen.
Listen, I'm taking my marching orders from Stephen.
Stephen doesn't love you.
He's doing the best he can under the circumstances.
Stephen couldn't love a girl like you.
Aw, what do you think we've been doing these past 6 months? Crossword puzzles. What have you got to kick about? You've got everything that matters. The name, the position, the money.
Nothing matters but Stephen.
Oh, can the sob stuff, Mrs. Haynes. You don't think this is the first time Stephen's ever cheated? Listen, I'd break up your smug little roost, if I could. I have just as much right as you have to sit in a tub of butter. But I don't stand a chance.
I'm glad you know it.
Well, don't think it's just because he's fond of you.
Fond?
You're not what's stopping him. You're just an old habit with him. It's just those brats he's afraid of losing. God, if he weren't such a sentimental fool about those kids, he'd have walked out on you months ago.
That's not true!
Oh, yes, it is! I am telling you a few plain truths that you will not get from Stephen.
Stephen's always told me the truth.
Well, look at the record. Listen, Stephen's satisfied with this arrangement, so don't force any issue unless you want to have plenty of trouble.
You've made it impossible for me to do anything else.
Have I?
You haven't played fair.
Oh, where would any of us get if we played fair?
Where do you hope to get?
Right where you are, Mrs. Haynes.
You're very confident.
The longer you stay in here, the more confident I get. Saint or no saint, Mrs. Haynes, you are one hell of a stupid woman.
I probably am. Why am I standing here talking to you? This is something for me and Stephen to settle.
Oh, what the hell?
Actors Bridget Patterson and Jess Barber performing a scene from the play The Women. My other guests are co-director Lyman Collins, costume designer Rachel McKay. The Women is on stage this Friday and Saturday at 3 o'clock, and then Sunday I should say you're going to be on stage Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Cary Arts Center. You can find the times at our website, stateofthings.org. It's a great performance and an amazing scene. Lyman, let me ask you, in 1936, how would something like that, would that have been somewhat scandalous to sort of hear all of that stuff out loud on the stage?
I don't think probably on the stage it was, but it was scandalous to hear it. Because the film was made of the play just a few years later, and you don't have that dialogue in the play in the same way because of the production code.
In the movie.
Right, in the movie, because the production code prevented a lot of that more salacious talk. But I think probably theater, as theater is today, has a little bit more freedom than some of our broadcast areas.
Well, let's talk about that. You talked about the film that was done in just a couple of years later after 1936 in the Broadway production, and then there was a 2008 film version of that play as well, The Women. I want to play a little clip from that play, and I think this is actually at the dress shop just before the confrontation you heard, just before that happened. Meg Ryan is in this. Let's listen.
Oh. I have to say, you're my first customer who's had the courage to try that on.
Do you have those cutlet things? You know, I need some lift.
Oh. Are
think I have to take this. How much money is it?
It's Italian handmade lace. That's why it's $650.
Ooh. Does it come in any other colors?
Champagne.
Ah, I love champagne. I'll take it in champagne as well.
Will that be cash or charge?
What if I gave you the number of someone who does have a credit card, and I'm sure if you call them, he'd be happy to give it to you over the phone?
We can try that. What's the gentleman's name?
Stephen Haynes. He's a friend of the family.
Mrs. Haynes is a client of ours. In fact, she's in the dressing room right across the hall. Would you like me to have her approve this for you?
No. I'll phone Mr. Haynes. Thanks.
Clip from the 2008 film version of The Women. That was Eva Mendes in the role of Crystal Allen. The stage production this weekend at the Cary Arts Center. I'm talking with the actors Jess Barber and Bridget Patterson. Rachel McKay is here, the costume designer and co-director at Lyman Collins. You're going to screen that film, right?
Well, we actually did screen it. We screened it last week, and people really enjoyed it. One of the things that fascinated me about this, and one of the reasons why I did want to do it, was because there are actually three movie versions of it. We are screening the 1939 version tonight at the Cary, and we'll have the opportunity with your very own film experts, Laura Boyes and Marcia Gordon are going to be talking afterwards about the differences between film and plays on all three versions.
What about the difference between then and now? How current is that film and the play and the themes that are in it?
I think it's really it's very interesting. There are some things that are very current, I think, and some things that aren't at all. Obviously, the divorce situation, you don't have to go to Reno anymore for a divorce. But the divorce is spurred on by tabloid journalism, and tabloid journalism and tabloids and following celebrities in the papers is something that's relevant today. There's a lot of emphasis on looks and beauty, and that's where our costumes come in with these fabulous costumes that Rachel has designed for us. But they work out in the gym, they go to the beauty parlor, which happens today. So in those ways, you see parallels. And then there's the class distinctions. There's some wonderful lines in the play from the sales girls, the servants in the household, those people, and a nurse makes a terrible commentary when one of the women says that she's had a hard time giving birth, and she says, "You don't know what a hard time giving birth is, because you know I had to do it without ether. I had to do it unassisted." And so the class differences come out in the play, and so you have a lot of things that are the same as well as different.
Rachel McKay, this is being done as a period piece, as though it were 1936. Tell us about the costume design and your approach to that.
So my approach to the costume design is, of course, I read the play three or four times and do a lot of research into the period. But Lyman and Nancy came up with a wonderful concept with color scheming in this play and how we distinct the main characters or the more important ones from the secondary characters, and that's through color. So all the main girls have their own colors that represent different things. So Mary is blue and Crystal is red, and then we have other colors that are green, beige, brown, floral, and white. So it's really interesting because you can really pick apart, I guess, the characters, but also a little bit of the class difference, because a lot of the secondary characters are the hairdressers and the maids and the nurses and that sort of thing. So they're very important, but they're also a little black and white in that regard.
Yeah, and I guess class distinctions would have been more obvious through fashion then, whereas now dressing down is a kind of a cool thing for wealthy women to do.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So, Lyman, let me ask you about the decision to stage this as a period piece and not make it a contemporary piece.
Well, when you read it with Clare Booth Luce's language and the ethos, I think, of the era, it just plays better that way. But also, it's a great opportunity for great actresses, I think, to have fun with some of the things. The ladies learned the importance of gloves and how you have to put on gloves and take off gloves, and when you wear your gloves, hats were very important. And so hats, all the ladies have different hats, and so the whole way the whole way clothing influence the way they move. I just found that interesting, and you kind of lose that if you contemporize it too much.
Let me ask Jess and Bridget about that. The question of sort of how you contemplate the differences. There are themes, obviously, that still resonate today, but you're dressed in this other period. What does it make you think about the differences and the similarities between now and 80 years ago?
I definitely think a lot about social media and how easily it is to find out information about someone, especially a celebrity. And I think in Mary's case, even though all of this is going on, she still has to smile through all of it because she doesn't want anyone to know what she's dealing with. She doesn't want anyone to think that she's unhappy because she's created this persona of being the perfect woman.
That's interesting. Her catty friends let her know, but that doesn't mean anybody else has to know. And of course, these days that would be impossible.
Exactly.
That's very interesting. What about you, Bridget? The idea of sort of having to meditate on the difference between then and now, especially because those clothes simply put you in the moment.
The clothes put you in the moment. The sets, the props all put you in that moment. But to me, it is very much a similar world that we see. I've done a number of feminist theater pieces recently. And when I've talked to you about those women, those actresses, is this idea of female competition. And you get this play is full of amazing one-liners. One of them is, women are natural enemies. Sylvia says that. And you see that played out on stage, and you see that played out in modern life all the time. And these in the catfights that little girls go through growing up, and it's the same world.
You wonder how much that is whether they're natural enemies or cultured enemies. Whether
there's
something about this culture that brings out the worst in what is otherwise a much more collaborative.
We should be co-queens.
Co-queens. Will you do that in the play? My guests are Lyman Collins, actors Jess Barber and Bridget Patterson, and costume designer Rachel McKay. The women on stage at the Cary Arts Center, 7:30 tomorrow and Saturday, and then 3 o'clock this Sunday, August 6th. We've got all that at our website, stateofthings.org. But a screening of the 1939 film version of The Women tonight at 7 o'clock, and you will see our very own Marcia Gordon and Laura Boyes there as well. And again, the details at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you all very much for being on the program.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things, a production of Anita Rao, Charlie Shelton Ormond, Laura Pelliser, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley, as well, is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.